We're going to be in the book of Numbers today in chapter 20, 1 through 13, talking about the Israelites coming up out of Egypt. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chose with Moses and spoke, saying, "Would God that we had died, and our brethren died before the Lord? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or a fig, or a vine, or a pomegranate. Neither is there any water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take thy rod, and gather thy assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak you unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation, and there'll be this drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Here now, you rebels, must we fetch your water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses, "Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them." He said this is his church that he's talking about. This is his church that he's leading, as we are his church. Moses was aggravated with the children of Israel. He was fed up. He called them a bunch of rebels, stiff-necked. But there's a breaking point that each and every one of us has got to come to today. Enough is enough. We need to go to the well. When we go to the well, all of our problems are going to come away. They're going to be taken away. Yeah, you're going to have little stuff come against you, but I promise you, he will take it, make a way. He said he is love, he is faithful, he is goodness. How many in here today are hurting? Has God spoken a word over, a promise over your life, a word of knowledge? God has spoken over a situation, you've prayed and you keep praying, and you're still waiting. Are you tired of getting whipped, talked down to, being slaves, always in bondage, complaining, moving only when you want to? Not when God speaks, but you move when you want to. We in the flesh, we get angry, we get frustrated, we complain about a situation that God has already spoken on for your good, not our good. Complaining about a situation that God has already spoken over will just damper the mood. He can't move in a negative situation. If we speak positive over our lives, if we speak the name of Jesus over our lives, over our situation, it will come to a pass. We have a tendency to be like the Israelites who God spoke to through Moses about taking them to the promised land. And the whole way on their journey, they complained and murmured against themselves, against God. You know anybody that's like that in your life? You pray for them, you pray for them, you want to see the change in them. You want to see God move in their life. But they keep speaking negativity and he won't move in their life. He said, when you start pouring out your praise and blessing to me, he said, I'm going to start pouring my praise out on you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." If you're his, it's still going to rain on you. But he said, you have a promise. You have a rock to come to. He said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. This means that a small amount of corruption, sin or falsehoods can spread or corrupt an entire group or individual. If God has spoke it, he will keep his word. He cannot lie. And in his word, he tells us in Numbers 23, verse 19 through 20,
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. If he's spoken something over your life, you've got to believe him. You've got to walk in that believing, in that proof that it's going to come to pass. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt, in bondage, beaten. God seen their affliction. They were great builders of cities for Egypt. And God knew that was his people. It was getting tormented down there. And he looks down in the church today and he's seen his people tormented, being beaten, being abused, in bondage. And he says, enough's enough. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and the cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. The covenant that he had with them was an everlasting promise of land, numerous descendants, blessings for all nations through their lineage. He told Abraham, wherever your feet tread, he said, it's yours. And that's what we got to believe in today, that we do have the blessing. We do have that lineage. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The enemy has come at us each way, and God has still protected us. He still showed us his love, his goodness, his faithfulness. He said, come to the well. He said, the enemy can only take you to your knees. Then he'll take over. In the 40 years God protected them, even while they were complaining and murmuring, he gave them the Ten Commandments. God was making a covenant with the Israelites. God was wanting a relationship, setting a standard for holiness. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. Then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will in my law or no. God told Moses, murmuring against him, complaining. And God said, send out 12 men of the tribe of Israel. He said, go into the land, into the promised land of Canaan. Seek for yourself what it's going to be like. And come back and tell us. He sent out the 12, and 10 of them came back with a bad report, speaking negativity, murmuring, complaining. The giants are too big. We can't do this. But there was two of them, Joshua and Caleb, come back and said, this land is ours. We're going to take it. And that's what we have to do. We have to speak the word. We have to speak his blessings upon us and tell them, this is our land. We're taking this. While Moses was up on Mount Sinai, the Israelites were planning and worshiping a golden calf. God had parted the Red Sea for the Israelites and killed their enemies and brought them through on dry land to the other side. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Moses, he was a great prophet for the Lord. He received his calling purpose in the Lord from a burning bush. Moses made excuses when the Lord was giving him a job to do. Moses was making excuses of why he did not want to do this or could not do this. He said, who am I? Who is God? They won't believe me. I am slow of speech and tongue. Please send someone else. Has God ever told you to do something? You're making excuses. He's got a job for you. He's going to go before you and do it. He's going to tell her the heart, make the path straight for you. Aaron was Moses' brother. He was the first high priest of the Israelites. He was Moses' spokesman. Aaron made excuses, blaming the Israelites for worshiping the golden calf. When Aaron was the one tossing goat in the fire to make the calf. So he was throwing it on the fire, and he was still trying to blame it on the Israelites. We've got to take responsibility for what we do. We've got to take it up to God. We can't have another man take it to him. All three of these people were highly anointed in the Lord. Done and led a bunch of Israelites in the wilderness out of Egypt towards the promised land. But none of them got to enter in because of disobedience and for worshiping a golden calf. Moses struck the rock instead of speaking God's word, and he didn't get to enter in. God let him see the promised land, but not enter in. Miriam dies. The Israelites were complaining to Moses and Aaron about no water. The lack of water serves as a test of their faith and reliance on God's provision. He told me, he said, I have people in this church that I'm trying by faith and fire. He said, you're in the wilderness, and he said, you need to come to him. He said, don't go to man. He said, don't go nowhere else. Don't go to no idols. He said, come to the well. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Moses and Aaron reacted not with anger, but went to the tabernacle and prayed. God told them to speak to the rock, and water will come forth. But Moses struck the rock twice. After he struck it, water came out abundantly. Even after he was disobedient, the Lord still provided for him. Jehovah Jireh. Even when we ain't obedient, he still provides for us. Yes, sir.
As you're sharing all that, what goes through my mind, you brought up several great points. I'm thinking about, you were talking about the 12 spies. We sent the 12 spies out. You know, Ken came out the day before, too. And Paul reported that, you know, all the times, I can kind of reflect that maybe a certain job you had at one time, everybody was taking it to a couple or whatever. But I often think about also how important would Joshua have been to Caleb. Caleb had been to Joshua. Because during that whole time, all 10 of them say no, but those two together were holding on. Did you imagine the bond that they formed? The relationship that they formed? You know what I mean? I think that's encouragement for us to look for those people that are like-minded like us. With that cause of attitude or that cause of speed and stuff like that, and spend more time with them than with 10 naysayers. That makes sense because I think that relationship is important.
Yes.
And if you want to, you know, did two really properly fall off from the enemy to just say, well, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe we don't have a chance. But they stuck with it. I often wonder how much they lean on each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I think we kind of dismiss that sometimes. You know, the importance of the relationship that did been had, that probably happened the rest of their life.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's a good point.
Everybody that got gas card too, started digging for money or whatever, they thought the church was selling.
Anybody else?
Well, I think it also goes down to, and I think it is the same thing, is that when you are going through that and then it comes out in the future again, it's hard to trust. Yeah. And so it's hard to trust people, it's hard to trust things, it's hard to trust same situations. Well, this happened this way, but I'm not doing it this way. I don't believe that because this person, you know what I'm saying? It all got a lot to do with trusting.
On the back side preparing. He was spending time with God.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, his relationship with the Lord in front of him for naysayers. So it's been kind of like the God one day. You know, they obviously had to have a relationship with the Lord, believe in him more than they believe that he is naysayers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. I was just going to say, I was thinking of David Jeremiah this morning, and just like David, he had all that time out there, but he was spending time with God. And Jeremiah's wife asked him to preach one day because he was spending so much time away from him. And he said, how do you spend your time? She told him, she told David, Jeremiah, you and God need to figure that out. And he said, I'm not telling you what to do, you and God need to figure out what time and who we need to spend it with, with the murder at that time. And he had help with kids. And she wasn't telling him what to do, she let God tell him.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, and that's what we need to do.
else. He said the place was called Meribah, which means contention or strife, conflict between the people of God. The Lord wants to know what you are calling your place of contention or strife. Are you going to call it goodness, faithfulness, mercy, love, peace? Or are you going to call it Meribah? Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to live, and that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. If God has brought you to a situation in life, he will see you through it. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 19. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is that brought us up out and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which do these great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the ways we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. God said, if I was enough to water the Israelites, feed them, clothe them, bathing, he said, I'm enough for you.
Amen.
He said, I'll go with you all the way to the end. He said, ask and you shall receive. He said, but don't ask amiss. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of the water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus had the living water from the well in the rock, but the rich man desired the living water after he lifted his eyes up in hell. He created you for a time such as this. He said, I created you, not man. I am the fire in the bush. I am the cloud. I am the pillar in the fire. I am the manna from heaven. I am the rock, the living well. Quit worrying what man, your neighbor, somebody thinks of you. They ain't got to stand in judgment. You do. He said, I am your abundance. It takes one man to murmur, to cause it to go through the church. And he says, it takes one well to start a revival in the church. He says, we need to come through the well. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent and twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. So we ain't got to have nobody like Moses to go in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for us. We can go into the holy temple and ask for ourselves, petition for ourselves. I'm finished.